You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we are shipping off to Boston. The Dropkick Murphys.
Where the green beer flows like wine.
That's right. That's St. Patrick's Day here in Cleveland, where it's pretty special on St. Patrick's Day. Hi, everybody. Jim Donovan and Matt Wilhelm. I'm in for Nathan Zagura. Matt Wilhelm's here every day. And we have had a lot of fun on Cleveland Browns Daily today. We're going to go right back to the telephone. It's a Dropkick Murphy story, though. A couple of years ago when the Red Sox won their last World Series,
yes,
when they beat the Cardinals in the World Series, Game 6, Fenway Park, and it would be the first time, I believe, that the Red Sox would ever win the World Series at Fenway Park. Okay, they had won in St. Louis, and they had won in Colorado, but they had not won at Fenway Park. And I knew when they brought the Dropkick Murphys out before the start of the game and brought out like 12 tiny little Irish step dancers, the Cardinals were done.
Yeah.
I knew there was no way they were going to win.
They had them at the over Irish.
Anyway, let's go to New Jersey. Chevy is in New Jersey on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hi, Chevy.
Have a great show. It's awesome. Thank you for picking me. I just want to say this.
Yeah.
The reason why I was hoping we could pick up a Greg Hardy so then we could get three day one weapons on offense, which is wide receiver, O-line, and tight end, and give Johnny the weapons he needs. And now that we've got a great quarterback to start the season, he can work his way into the lineup. And I think the Browns are fine. We're in great shape. What do you guys think?
Well, now Hardy is visiting somewhere, isn't he?
Dallas.
He's visiting
and
Dallas.
And also, too, they're negotiating right now.
Okay, so it looks as though maybe he's down the road in a deal there. Now, Chevy is a Manziel guy.
Yes,
I mean,
he is.
Chevy then has answered what I threw out to you, that to really put the Browns in perspective about this quarterback situation and where they are. We know McCown, Lewis, Manziel, Shaw. Mariota out there, Hundley out there, other guys out there, okay? But the fact of the matter is you really need to know what you got or what you think you're going to have in Manziel before you really can do anything dramatic, I think.
You absolutely do, and I think, as Nathan, to refer to him again, what we talk about in the show is the path to success at the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns, because we did, in fact, select Johnny Manziel, number 22 overall in the first round, is for him to get it straight,
mm-hmm,
you know, fix his personal life,
mm-hmm,
and then, as John DeFilippo said here, in reference to Johnny, is find a quarterback in Johnny who gets enamored with the game of football and grows up very quickly. He will eat it, he will sleep it, he will breathe the quarterback position in the National Football League. Why? Because of his experience, he said the great ones in this game do so. You know, they sacrifice so many other things in their life,
sure,
to play this game, and the privilege that it is to not only play this game, but to be the quarterback and the starting quarterback of one of 32 franchises in the National Football League.
Absolutely. Well said.
Thank you.
Let's go to After Further Review and call in the very talented Jason Gibbs.
Talented?
Huh? After Further Review.
Come on now.
Hey.
Question number one today, guys, on this Tuesday. Williams, Starks, McCown, Hartline. Grade the Browns on their free agent pickups so far.
It didn't come very quickly to the dismay of the Cleveland Browns fans, but in the course of time, I believe that the Cleveland Browns have upgraded this roster from 1 year to the next, and I'm going to give them a B, and here's the reason why. As Jim and I talked during the break, if you look at Whitner, Dansby, Hawkins, and even Dre as a part-time starter, mm-hmm, when Jordan Cameron was injured, you got 3.5 immediate starters out of last year's free agent signings, and McQuiston, you know, played a little bit of ball when we were banged up at offensive line, but he didn't pan out. So we went essentially 4 out of 5 last year, and I believe this year, out of Williams, Starks, McCown, and Hartline, as of right now, as we sit, you're going to get 4 starters, and in some cases, maybe 3 starters and a significant contribution out of the fourth. So we sit exactly where we sat last year by upgrading this roster.
I'm going to give them a C. I'm going to give them a C, and I'm not going to say because I'm you know, grading them down because they didn't get Revis.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to give them a C because McCown.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much of that is centered around the quarterback position?
Well, here's the, you know, it's right there. It's a punch in the nose there. Yeah. I mean, I feel like my nose needs to be changed because I've been punched in the nose so much. I mean, I don't even think he's going to compete. I think he's just going to be the quarterback of the Browns. Okay, now hopefully he'll play very well and professionally and play well. They need a tight end, okay? And I think they knew they needed a tight end. Obviously, you hear that they were going to trade Cameron. They were down the road in a deal, potential deal with Seattle on the Percy Harvin situation to trade him. They need a tight end. I still think they need another wide receiver. And that second offensive line worries me. They still need that. A C that can possibly go up because there's more work to be done.
A little bit more optimistic on my end.
After further review.
Question number two today, guys. Last week, I asked you for your winners from NFL's first week of free agency. 1 week ago, the NFL calendar year started. What teams have been the losers in free agency so far?
My losers, first and foremost, I think the big loser is, as of right now, because they're remaking their roster, is the New Orleans Saints. And I think how dismantling it is for that offense to lose Jimmy Graham to the Super Bowl contender last year and Super Bowl winner the year prior, the Seattle Seahawks, to get Jimmy Graham. And I would have to give second place to the Dallas Cowboys. Their inability to negotiate a deal and keep DeMarco Murray. They have Dez Bryant under the franchise tag, but then their linebacking core, you know, as Bruce Carter has left, they're left, again, right now trying to solidify that with Hardy as well.
Okay, I'm going to say the San Francisco 49ers have fallen out of the NFL and would have a hard time competing in the Pac-12 right now. So there's one. And the other one I think really have taken significant hits in free agency. And I know Bill Belichick's a miracle guy, but I think New England has taken significant hits. Running back. Okay, Vince Wilfork's gone now.
Yeah.
I mean, they lose Revis. They lose Browner, the other corner. I think they've taken some
You were
some
there
hits.
To have your ear on the street, so you know better
I'm
than anybody.
I'm telling you something. They stop the presses. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in Boston, and not a lot of them are good, but Darrell Revis leaving was major news back there. I think the Patriots have taken a lot of hits.
After further review.
Question number three today, guys. After all the moves they have made since the offseason began, are the Philadelphia Eagles a better team or a worse team today?
I'm going to say they're a better team. And the reason why is because they had given control, you know, early after the season to Chip Kelly to become a player in the pro personnel side, to have control over his roster. They believe in him as a head coach. They gave him the control. He is now getting his way. He has saved them money. They have spent money. I think they made a lateral move from Shady McCoy to DeMarco Murray. They now have Sam Bradford, who's an upgrade and solidifies that position if he can stay healthy. And I think Chip, slowly but sure, they got a great player in Kiko Alonso as well via trade. And I think Chip Kelly's way, it's his way or the highway, and he would love to have it that way. So we will see how it all pans out. But as of now, I think they are better.
Here's something I want to throw at you. I don't know if they're better. I think everything there revolves around Bradford.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, if they can resurrect him and if he can really be a great player, then I think it was obviously a brilliant move. Obviously, he did not feel that Nick Foles could get them there. And Foles did win, at least in that first year.
He did.
He won a lot of games for them. Number two is this. Chip Kelly can make these moves knowing full well that if this blows up, every college job in the world is going to be open to
him.
Minus
Bama and Ohio State, maybe.
Come on. Exactly. I mean, every job in the world. He's playing with house money.
Yes, he is.
I'll say for boldness and trying to make the team his kind of team, absolutely. I mean, he went out there. He didn't wait for anybody to do it. He just did it himself.
After further review.
All right, guys, we'll speed things up here today. Final question for the day. If you were a betting man and you're in Vegas, would you take Kentucky or the field in the NCAA tournament?
You know, it's really scary how good Kentucky is, and scary that I'm even fathoming taking Kentucky. But I've watched and paid – I haven't say I've watched, but I've paid attention to the fact that Kentucky has played more close games as of recent, as they're getting more teams' best effort, as Ohio State in football will and does every single week. And I just have to, if I were to put my money out of my pocket on somebody, I would have to take the field. Because somebody's going to play their best game against Kentucky when they're not at their best.
I'm driving down in Winter Haven one day, getting ready to cover the Indians, and the NCAA tournament is starting, and nobody is going to beat the University of Cincinnati coached by Bob Huggins.
Yeah.
And Kenyon Martin in their first game goes down hurt, and they're out of the tournament. So it can happen. The other thing, I watched Kentucky down near the end of the year, and there were people that had them on the ropes. LSU had them on the ropes. Georgia had them on the ropes.
Buffalo had them on the ropes in the middle of the season.
Buffalo had them on the ropes in the middle of the season. Yeah, I will take the field. I mean, they are really good.
They are.
Okay, I mean, they are. And you know what? I don't know if they've diluted the college basketball season or if it's now so hepped up because now the real season begins. Can anybody beat Kentucky?
That's right.
It's going to be
fascinating. That's all that matters.
But the simple thing is, I always took the field versus Tiger Woods. I'll take the field versus Kentucky.
There you go.
There you go. All right, Jason, thank you.
You're very welcome, guys.
It was a ball, Matt, being in here with you
today. Great to have you.
Charlie Casserly.
Yes.
On the schedule tomorrow.
At 2:30.
Charlie Casserly,
former NFL general manager.
Absolutely, and did great job. Great job in Washington with the Redskins. Had great years there, and then of course went and helped put Houston.
Yes.
You know, when they came into the NFL, but he had that story that said that the Browns were willing, and he has it confirmed that they would have offered to get Sam Bradford and give up a number one,
yes,
a first round draft choice. For Jason Gibbs, thank you very much for producing for all of our calls today.
Yes.
On a busy day on St. Patrick's Day. Thank you very much. Now for Matt Wilhelm and for myself, Jim Donovan, thanks for being with us. Back tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.